Now, we are here obviously on the Wild Atlantic Way this week, and there are some incredible spots of natural beauty. But when tourists then start flocking to unspoiled places, inevitably there are consequences. And Peggy Vale has made a documentary called Gringo Trails, and this looks at how tourists change the remote visits, the remote places they visit. And Peggy's with us in the chip van this morning. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning.
You are, of course, an anthropologist and associate director of the Centre for Media, Culture and History at the wonderful New York University. You've come a long way.
Yes.
But if you look to your right, and if the weather was right, you'd see New York, you know.
But no, I don't want to see New York today.
No. Okay, yeah. The bright lights. Right. No. Just you want to be here today. What Gringo Trails? What is it? The use of the word gringo, is it, that's an unusual choice. Is it? What does it mean in this context?
It is. It's kind of contested in where the term actually comes from.
Sure.
But it goes back to, you know, there are writings that bring it back to like the 1700s, 1800s in Spain. So it's been around a long time. But traditionally, it's been meaning the foreigner's trail, travel route throughout South and Central America.
Okay.
And I just extended the term to the world because basically the trail is the same everywhere you go. You can meet somebody in Peru traveling that you'll then meet them again in Thailand. So we're just extending that term instead of using the banana pancake trail in Southeast Asia and the gringo trail in South America.
Okay,
it's the gringo trail.
Broad sweep. Yeah. And is it fair to say, I don't want to be too reductive of what the program's about, the documentary's about, but is it fair to say, roughly speaking, you're talking about these beautiful parts of the world that are very ancient and very important and culturally important to keep intact that just aren't respected enough? Is that it, by tourism?
It is. I mean, we're looking at, we use the example of a beach in Thailand, and we trace it over a 40-year period. And so every 10 years, we can see visually how it changes. And it really provides a cautionary tale from going from this pristine environment to, you know, this trash beach at this point after these full moon parties and so forth. And so it's really, that provides the cautionary tale to see, well, what could happen in a lot of places if we're not careful.
Yeah.
So it's looking at that, but then also offering sustainable alternatives in some of the other locations that we filmed in.
So what places are, would you say, under threat or are troubled by excessive tourism?
I think there are many places around the world that are. And you know, 30 years ago, we didn't have the hindsight to say, oh, this is what could happen.
Yeah.
And now we do. So hopefully the film is offering a conversation opener and a visual tool to see, oh, where along the way can we make some changes so we don't have the same problems that happen in some of these overrun locations.
So you're talking about places, it could be the Bolivian jungle or, as you say, the party beaches in Thailand, full moon parties and deserts in Timbuktu and Mali or what have you.
Exactly.
These are places that have to be... not protected by their respective governments and states, or is that the problem?
You know, it's, I think the problem, you know, it's manifold. So you have, you know, some travelers that, first of all, I love to travel.
Good.
You know, that's been my life. And so it's not about stopping travel or tourism, it's getting it right. You know, and you have like some travelers that may not be as responsible. So it's on their shoulders. Then you have in remembering that you're a guest in somebody else's culture. And then it's having the governments that might have to step in and say, oh, we might have to maybe limit the numbers in some place. It's local people that, you know, in their environments that have to actually step up and do something too. So it's really, really everybody at the table thinking about all of our responsibility.
And how to fix
it. Exactly. Like Bhutan. Bhutan's like kept travelers out. They've kept low budget backpackers out precisely because as a whole government, they decided we don't want what happened in Nepal to happen here. So right or wrong, they have said, okay, if you don't spend $250 a day, you can't visit us.
All right, so they've put a limit on it. They don't want people coming in. You talk about this trip of one man's story of getting lost in the Amazon jungle in 1981. What happened?
Well, he got lost. Well, he was actually, as he talks about it in the movie, he was looking for this romanticized images of the jungle and Native Americans in the jungle and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And gets lost and then for like 25 days survives on his own and is saved by a number of people, local people. And 10 years later, then he went back and helped them to, you know, get their vision of tourism started by helping them get funding and so forth. So actually, it's a great story of both, you know, him having gotten lost, but then coming back and helping the community that helped him
and getting
this sustainable tourism initiative started.
You have obviously, you're a New Yorker, but you're not really New Yorker because just across the way from in Inishbofin, that's where you're your heart probably lies, is it?
I have family there. I have the Kings in Inishbuff. My grandmother was from there, and it's, you know, I know that for them tourism is a big part of Inishbuff, and so it's kind of interesting thinking about the film in relationship to what's happening along the whole Wild Atlantic
and
Coast.
I holiday a bit on Inishbuff, so I know
isn't it beautiful?
It's without compare, but it's a very community driven place whereby they would anything out of line they'd be looking to fix it. So I think they'd be very protective and aware of abuse in terms of tourism being a problem.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's a great example of having a community involved in their own planning and what's going to happen in their environment. You know, and I think it's a good example of what can happen in a lot of places.
And it's on the Wild Atlantic Way.
Yeah.
So it's perfect.
Yeah.
Everything's perfect. Okay, Peggy, we've got to leave it there, but the best of luck with the film. When can people see it or where is
And please come on travel to Galway to see the film on Friday at 6 p.m. this Friday, July 11th at the Galway Flaw.
That's very exciting. Congratulations on putting that together, and I wish you well in all your endeavors.
Thank you so much.
Not at all. That's Peggy Vale, as I should say, who's anthropologist and associate director of the Center for Media, Culture and History at New York University, but now sitting in a chip van on the prom in Galway.